Well, good morning, Peace Church. How are you doing this morning? Good to hear. I'm Pastor Ryan. I'm one of the pastors here at Peace Church, and I'm excited and I'm blessed to be with you here this morning as we continue our sermon series on the book of Ruth. We'll be in Ruth chapter 3 today, that great Old Testament book. And if you've been with us the past couple of weeks, you've known that the tagline of this sermon series is "When Life Doesn't Go According to Plan." And from a human standpoint, the unfolding of the book of Ruth would lead us to believe that Ruth's life is anything but going according to plan. Her husband dies. She has to move from home. She finds herself in desperation. Yet through it all, when this story comes full circle, even though it seems that Ruth's life was out of control, we know and we're thankful that God had a plan and he was in control the whole time. So I already said we'll be in Ruth chapter 3 today. If you want to use the Bibles in the racks around you, I encourage you to do so if you don't have your own. We'll be on page 284, spills over onto 285. So whether or not you're using the Bibles in the rack or your own Bible, I encourage you to have this chapter, Ruth chapter 3, open as we go through it today, because I am going to be going pretty much verse by verse this morning. Today's message is simply entitled, "Doing What's Right." Because as believers, we are always called to do what's right. And what is right is whatever is right and pleasing in God's sight, in God's eyes. We cannot be people who say God's always in control, and then we go and do whatever we want, knowing that it's sinful, and then turn around and say, well, it was all part of God's plan anyway. We don't always know what God's plan is, but we do know what God's commands are. And that's what we love and obey. So before I start preaching again, I just want to remind you, every sermon in this sermon series follows two parts. Again, we're on page 284 if you're using the Bibles in the racks around you. Two parts of this sermon, God's plan for Ruth, or maybe you could say God's plan in Ruth, as we look at Ruth chapter 3 today and pull out the principles of God's providence. And then we're going to shift the focus from the scriptures to the mirror, and we're going to look at God's plan for you, God's plan for me. And that doesn't mean necessarily that I know every single detail of your life and know exactly how it's going to unfold, but I do know the principles that God has laid out in his word that would apply to us all. So before we get going today, here's our main point. No matter what, God's people are called to do what's right. No matter what, God's people are called to do what's right. And Peace Church, there's much to be angry about in our world today. There's much to be frustrated about. And a lot of us would feel justified in maybe stepping outside God's bounds. But Christians are always called to do what's right. So let's begin with prayer, and then we'll dive into God's word. Father God in heaven, we thank you for your goodness and the knowledge that you are not just the creator of the universe, but its sustainer. Father, I pray that your providential care would extend to us here and now, and that we would glean from your word today a nourishment for our souls, that it would energize us to glorify you with our lives. And Lord, we cannot do this apart from the work of your Holy Spirit. So we ask that he would be very present with us now. And it's in the precious name of Jesus we pray. And all of God's people said, amen, amen, amen. So if you are just joining with us today, number one, I'm really glad that you're here, but let me catch you up to speed where we're at as we go into Ruth chapter 3. Ruth chapter 1 introduces us to a woman named Naomi. Naomi is living in a foreign land, and we find that she is left widowed with her two widowed daughters-in-law. Both her husband and her two sons have died, and she's left alone with her daughters-in-law, Orpah and Ruth. The setting is the country of Moab, not Israel, but the setting is Moab, where Naomi is a foreigner, but Orpah and Ruth, this is their homeland. But we find that Naomi feels called to return back to Bethlehem, her homeland. But Ruth is the only one that decides to go with her. Orpah stays. And now we find that Ruth will be the one in a foreign land. But it's very apparent as we see this story unfold that Naomi and Ruth, they have a special kinship. They have a real bond and a friendship and a love for each other. In Ruth chapter 2, we find Naomi again returning home, and then the story begins to unfold a little bit as we're introduced into a very good and a very godly man named Boaz. And Boaz, after seeing the kindness and the good-hearted nature of Ruth, He begins to provide for Naomi and Ruth, and a friendship and a relationship begin to form as Boaz takes heart for these two poor and desperate widows. So Ruth chapter 2 finds Boaz and Ruth's friendship beginning to flourish, but the future has yet to be seen as to what this means for both of them, and as we'll see, the rest of human history. So chapter 3, where we are going to pick up, happens a few weeks after chapter 2. So there's a little bit of distance, but chapter 3 is where we're going to start reading. I'm going to read the first five verses if you want to follow along. Ruth chapter 3, verses 1 to 5. Then Naomi, her mother-in-law, said to her, "My daughter, should I not seek rest for you that it may be well with you? Is not Boaz our relative with whose young women you were? See, he is winnowing barley tonight at the threshing floor. Wash, therefore, and anoint yourself, and put on your cloak, and go down to the threshing floor. But do not make yourself known to the man until he has finished eating and drinking. But when he lies down, observe the place where he lies. Then go, uncover his feet, and lie down, and he will tell you what to do." And she, Ruth, replied, "All that you say, I will do." So these first five verses, here's what I want you to pick up as we go verse by verse. First thing is this, is Naomi does the right thing because she shows love. Again, let's take this verse by verse. Verse 1, then Naomi, her mother-in-law, said to her, "My daughter, should I not seek rest for you that it may be well with you?" The first thing that we see here in this passage is that Naomi really does want to care for Ruth and see her taken care of. Naomi is an older woman, and she knows that she won't be around forever, but she loves Ruth. And we see here that Naomi's intentions are pure for Ruth. So mother-in-laws in the house, do your daughters-in-law know and feel your love for them? Verse 2. Is not Boaz our relative with whose young women you were? See, he is winnowing barley tonight at the threshing floor. Because you probably know by now where this story is leading, and before you get weirded out by the relative connection, let me remind you of a few things. Firstly, the reference to these other young women is about the women who work in the field that Boaz owns. Second, there is no blood connection here, but even more than that, family connections were how God established a real law, a real outline for how his people were going to be taken care of. It was a family affair to take care of each other. Before government social programs or even church care groups, God said that family should take care of family. And he actually put it in his law to make sure that happens, as we'll see in a moment. And so this is what Naomi is following. She knows that God has commanded family to take care of family, so she seeks Ruth to be taken care of by Boaz, who she has some relational connection with. And she knows that Boaz will be able to provide security and a home and protection, because these two widows are in a desperate situation unlike almost anyone in this room can imagine. Verse 3. Wash, therefore, and anoint yourself, and put on your cloak, and go down to the threshing floor. But do not make yourself known to the man until he has finished eating and drinking. So if you were clueless before, the overt discretion here is obvious. Naomi is trying to set up Ruth with Boaz, and she's telling Ruth here to be the pursuer. So let's see how this turns out. Verse 4. But when he lies down, observe the place where he lies. Then go and uncover his feet and lie down, and he will tell you what to do. I know some of you are concerned about an R rating right now. So let me assure you, there's no need to cover your eyes. The intentions here are pure. Ruth is to uncover Boaz's feet because this is during the barley harvest, which happened in late spring, early summer. So uncovering his feet would make Boaz a little cold at night, and that would startle him to be awake and find Ruth sitting there. But the intentions either way are pure. Verse 5, and Ruth replied, "All that you say, I will do." I'll tell you what, Peace Church, isn't it a lot easier to follow someone's instructions when they know when you know that they love you, when you know that they have your best interest in mind. Here we see Naomi take care of Ruth and point her in the right direction. And I know that when Ruth looks back on her life and she thinks about Naomi, she'll be able to say, that woman loved me. Will your daughters-in-law be able to say that about you? That woman loved me. Men, I'm talking to you as well. Do the people in your life feel the love that you have for them? And Peace Church, I'm talking to myself as well. I hope you know that even though I am not your senior pastor, I love you. And I want to prepare you and point you in the right direction, just like Naomi did for Ruth. And when people ask you about me, I want you to say, I may not always agree with that guy, but that man loves us. And I want you to know that I love you. And I'm so grateful to be one of your pastors and be able to share God's word with you. If you're doing the right thing, other people will know you love them, even if they don't agree with you. So pray to do the right thing. Pray that your pastors will do the right thing. Pray that your leaders will do the right thing. Pray that the person in the mirror will do the right thing. Verse 1 to 5 shows us that Naomi does the right thing because she shows love. Let's continue on. There's much more to the story. I'll read verses 6 to 13 if you'll follow along. So she, Ruth, went down to the threshing floor and did just as her mother-in-law commanded her. And when Boaz had eaten and drunk, and his heart was merry, he went to lie down at the end of a heap of grain. Then she came softly and uncovered his feet and lay down. Verse 8, at midnight the man was startled and turned over, and behold, a woman lay at his feet. He said, who are you? And she answered, I am Ruth, your servant. Spread your wings over your servant, for you are a redeemer. And he said, may you be blessed by the Lord, my daughter. You have made this last kindness greater than the first, in that you have not gone after young men, whether rich or poor. And now, my daughter, do not fear. I will do for you all that you ask. For my fellow townsmen know that you are a worthy woman. So even though Boaz was startled, he knows who Ruth actually is. Verse 12, and now it is true that I am a redeemer, yet, oh man, the word yet. Yet there is a redeemer nearer than I. Remain tonight, and in the morning, if he will redeem you, good. Let him do it. But if he is not willing to redeem you, then as the Lord lives, I will redeem you. Lie down until the morning. I don't know about you, but for me, this is an incredibly powerful section of Scripture. And here's what I want you to see here. Verses 6 to 13 show us that Boaz does the right thing because he shows integrity. First thing, the threshing floor. What is that? It's normally a large flat rock or a large flat hard piece of surface where you would take your harvest and you would beat what you harvested. And the hard seed would fall out and the chaff and all that was extra would be lying about. And so what you do is you take your winnowing fork and you would take it and you would throw it into the air. And the wind would blow away all the waste, but the good hard seed would fall back to the ground. That's what the threshing floor is, and this is the scene of our situation. And let's be honest with ourselves. This is a scene where Boaz could easily interpret this as a sexual advance. But it's not. And Boaz has the integrity not to exploit a vulnerable situation. And this is why every man wants a Boaz for their daughter. You know what I'm saying? I got two daughters. I'm looking. You just name your kid Boaz and it's a good start for me. Ruth is not after a romantic encounter. Naomi sends her there for something much more special and something much more future-minded. Boaz is startled in the middle of the night. And he asks, who are you? What are you doing here? And Ruth responds in verse 9, I am Ruth, your servant. Spread your wings over your servant, for you are a redeemer. Ruth is not seeking romance. She's looking for her redeemer. I tell you what, if That is something I could tell my daughters. Don't look for romance, look for a redeemer. Let's find out exactly what that means. She says, spread your wings over me. She's looking for someone to take care of her, to give her a hope and a future, someone to be her redeemer. And Boaz proves himself to be a godly redeemer because he doesn't exploit the situation. What does he do with this young, vulnerable woman? He honors her. Woman, that is your true test of a man. Does he handle you or does he honor you? But all of this begs the question, why so secretive? Why at night? Why is she wearing a cloak? Why does Boaz have to be asleep? Why? What's with all this secretive nature? I think there's a verse that gives us a clue, and it's verse 12, if you'd look there with me. Boaz says, and now it is true that I am a redeemer, yet there is a redeemer nearer than I. Boaz acknowledges that he is a redeemer, but there's a closer relative who should be approached first, as God's law states. As God's law states, when a woman's in need and her husband dies, then you start going to the closest next of kin to be the redeemer. If he can't or won't, then it goes to the next line, and so on and so forth. Boaz wasn't the closest relation. He wasn't supposed to be first in line to be the redeemer. We can't say for certain, but I think that Naomi knew that Boaz wasn't the first in line of the redeemers, but she wanted Boaz for her daughter. So she tried to set up this connection first. I tell you what, my oldest daughter, Kennedy, just started sixth grade, which means she entered middle school. I was a middle school boy at one time, too. And so, fathers, I want to share with you, especially if you have a daughter, maybe even more so if you have a son. This is a great verse to look at what it means to be integrity and look for integrity. These final verses are such a place where a father can sit down with his daughter and his son and say, there is a reason why we are still reading about Boaz 3,000 years later. Yes, because he is in the line of Jesus, absolutely. But there's plenty that were in the line of Jesus who doesn't get this much attention. It's because this man showed integrity that's eternal. Verse 13, remain tonight, and in the morning, if he will redeem you, good. Let him do it. I love this next line. But if he is not willing to redeem you, then as the Lord lives, I will redeem you. Lie down until the morning. Boaz does not exploit her. He honors her. He cares for her. He speaks about the Lord to her. And they kind of have a Bible study in the middle of the night together. He mentions the Lord's name. Like, girls, be with someone who's going to speak about the Lord. He speaks about the Lord. He protects her. He shows her how God's commands are his priority because he knows that Ruth is choosing him, yet he knows that according to God's plan, at least at this point, this is not what God has ordained. But Boaz still shows his heart. If this other redeemer is not willing to take care of Ruth, then as the Lord lives, he will. Boaz gives it all to God. He places their future together on the altar and says, we can only have this if the Lord will have this. Verse 6 to 13 show us that Boaz does the right thing because he shows integrity. Let's read verses 14 through the end of the chapter. We'll see how this scene plays out. And as we do, I want you to notice this, that Ruth does the right thing because she shows patience. Verse 14, so she, Ruth, lay at his feet until the morning, but arose before no one could recognize her. And he said, let it not be known that the woman came to the threshing floor. And he said, bring the garment you are wearing and hold it out. So she held it out, and he measured out 6 measures of barley and put it on her. Then she went into the city. And when she came to her mother-in-law, she said, how did you fare, my daughter? Then she told her all that the man had done for her, saying, these 6 measures of barley he gave to me, for he said to me, you must not go back empty-handed to your mother-in-law. Naomi replied, wait, my daughter, until you learn how this matter turns out, for the man will not rest but he will settle the matter today. Not only does Boaz act with integrity and keep his integrity intact, but he does the same for Ruth. Let it not be known that the woman came to the threshing floor, because he knows how gossiping eyes will take in a situation and twist it. He gives her 6 measures of barley. Barley is used for making bread, soups, stew, and he's given her 6 measures, which is roughly 15 gallons worth. She's got to carry that in her cloak. That's kind of a funny scene. But what we see here is not just Boaz's very generous heart, but a desire to make sure that Ruth and Naomi are well supplied. And Naomi, ever the wise woman, Naomi knows exactly what's going on here. This wasn't just about generosity. Boaz loves Ruth. She replied, "Wait, my daughter, until you learn how the matter turns out, for the man will not rest, but will settle the matter today. And this is a matter where it is truly in the Lord's hands. But that doesn't mean Boaz will sit on the sidelines and just wait to see how it all turns out. Boaz gets in the game. He wants to be an active participant in God's plan, not to go against God's law, but to follow God's command and see what this means for his place and Ruth's place in God's plan. So he goes on a mission. But on the flip side, Ruth does the opposite. Knowing there is nothing more for her to do, she waits on the Lord and she shows patience. She's not going to force her way into a situation where God has not opened a door. And I love how these two, Ruth and Boaz, I love how they do such opposite things, yet both such according to God's plan. Boaz knows there's something he can do, so he does it. Ruth knows there's nothing she can do, so she waits. So let's pause right here. I wish we could go on to Ruth chapter 4, but that's next week. Let's pause right here, and let's see how this story and these godly examples inform us about God's plan for you, and for me, and for us. So God's plan for you. My Christian brothers and sisters in the room, there is never an excuse for sin. Never. No matter what comes in your life, you are never justified in going against God's law. No matter if things go wrong, if you are sinned against, even when you disagree with what is happening, God never permits you to break his law. We are always called to do what's right in his sight, no matter what turn life takes. And so my point of application, I got one for you today, is this. You are called to do what's right, even when it's not what you want. You are called to do what's right, even when it's not what you want. Some of you are thinking right now, how do we know what the right thing is to do? That's a great question. Look to God's word. Study it. Learn from it. Listen to godly preachers who will teach from it. One of the best questions you can ask is this: what does God's word say I should do? It may not give you an answer for your specific situation, but it will give you a principle to guide you. And I think in our day and age, we need less how-tos and more principles to guide our life. We live in the age of be who you are. Live your dream. Treat yourself first. Don't let anyone tell you what you can do. We live in the age of do what you think is right because it's what you want. It's what you want to be. It's what you want to do. You do what's right for you. The ever prevailing mantra of our day and age: live your truth. It's not a mantra Christians can adopt. Listen to Boaz. Look at verse 12. "And now it is true that I am a redeemer. Yet there is a redeemer nearer than I. Remain tonight, and in the morning, if he will redeem you, good. Let him do it. But if he is not willing to redeem you, then, as the Lord lives, I will redeem you. I will take you to be my wife. I will take care of you. I will provide for you. I will be the man that God's called me to be in your life. I will do these things. but only if it's God's will. Boaz wanted to redeem Ruth, but he knew it wasn't right. So he laid his desires on the altar, meaning he gave it all to God. He knew there was someone else, and according to God's standard, according to God's law, Boaz had to step aside to do the right thing. But if he is not willing to redeem you, then as the Lord lives, I will redeem you. I will venture to say, he loved Ruth. He wanted to be her redeemer. But because Boaz was a truly godly man, he had to do what was right, even when it wasn't what he wanted. Peace Church, someone else we know did what was right, even though it wasn't what he wanted. Jesus Christ, on the evening before his crucifixion, was in a garden and he was praying. And knowing what was to come, Jesus prayed these words, "My Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as you will." Jesus did not want to go to the cross. "Let this cup pass from me" refers to the cup of God's holy wrath that was to be poured out on him for the sins of the world, the cup of wrath that should have been poured out on us. Jesus knew this was coming, and Jesus prayed for another way. But because Jesus always did what was right, every single time, even when it wasn't what he wanted, he stayed obedient to God, and he went to the cross, and he drank that bitter cup of God's wrath for your sins and for my sins, for the sins of the world. And thanks be to God that Ruth chapter 3 is not the end of her story, and thanks be to God that the cross is not the end of Jesus' story. Death could not hold Christ. He is risen. He is risen indeed, Peace Church. And now, when we repent of our sins and we believe in his name, we are saved by grace, meaning no merit or effort of our own, because he's paid the penalty in full. And so when we believe in his name, we can receive his righteousness in full. For those in Christ, when God looks at us, he no longer sees the ugliness of our sin, but he sees the righteousness of his Son. And this is because Christ did what was right, even when it wasn't what he wanted to do. So if you are in your own chapter 3, and you're not sure how your story will turn out, look to Jesus. When you are sad because it's not the way that it used to be, look to Jesus. When frustrations come in your life, in your job, in your family, when it would be easier just to move on, when it would be happier for you just to divorce, to quit, to walk away, when exhaustion comes, when it would be easier to find another path, I don't know what God wants you to do, but I do know he wants you to look to Jesus. And you are called to do what's right, even when it's not what you want. If any of those times come, look to Jesus, because he did what was right, even when it wasn't what he wanted. God's path is the one that's always right, but not always the easiest. And so we look to Jesus, the one who saved us. How could Boaz be so cool under pressure? How could Boaz look at the possibility of losing the one he loves and still do the right thing? Do you know how? Because he loved God the most. How could Jesus look at the possibility of losing his life, facing the judgment for our sins? How could Jesus look at drinking the wrath of God and still do it? It's because he loved God the most. When God is our first love, it doesn't make doing the right thing easier, but it does make it clearer. Boaz knew God's law for his people, so he did what was right. And Jesus knew God's love for the world, so he did what was right. So Peace Church, let's be a people who do what's right, even if it's not what we want. Amen. Let's pray.